Begin the current daf, Masechtas Becharis, daf Tezvav. Begin 11 lines down at the top of the Amud. Now the Gemara continues with the second half of our previous Mishnah, which up until now we were discussing regarding when it's Kodem Mumum Lehekdeshon, when the blemish comes before the animal is sanctified, which relates to the topic of our Perek, regarding, we said, how it relates to the Halachas of Bechor. So we said over there that essentially has like Kedushas Damim. It doesn't really have like a physical sanctity, and there's many halachas that relate to that. Now the Gemara explains the seif of the Mishnah, where Avol Kodem Hekdeshon v'chulu. But in contrast, if the animal is first sanctified, and only then later did it develop a blemish, so then actually here we will consider like it has Kedushas Aguf, and even though now it's blemish, which we call what's called Psuli HaMikdashim, it's now invalidated from a carbon, but it will have the halachas v'chulu, etc., where we said, for example, that it's going to be pater from the laws of Bechairis and Matanis. And the Gemara asks Menanamili, how do we know that okay, now you're using it as a regular animal, how do we know that it still has certain limitations, that it's not going to be like a chulin animal to, let's say, its firstborn be chayiv and bechayr, or if you slaughter the animal, to be chayiv and matanis to give to the kain? Where do we know this one? It says the Gemara Tanabon, because learn the Braisa. It says in the Pasuk, tzvi, meaning it says, ketzvi va'ayil, and the Sefri explains this Pasuk is talking about Psuli HaMakdashim, the case that we're discussing regarding when the carbon becomes invalidated and then it's redeemed. So you could use it for your purposes. And the Pasuk says that we're going to consider this animal that used to be a carbon like the deer and the hart, which are chayas, wild animals. Now, what's the Pasuk telling us? Says the Braisa, Matzvi Patam and the Bechayra, just like a deer is exempt from the laws of the firstborn being given to the kain, because the Pasuk by Bechayra says, Bekarcho Betzaincha, it's by your cattle and your flock, which are behemoths and not by chayas, absolutely Mekdashin, so too regarding this, what the context of the Pasuk is talking about. The Karbonis that became invalidated, Patrum and the Bechayra is going to be exempt from the laws of the firstborn. Now, that's what you learn from comparison to the word Tzvi, as a deer. Why does it say, and the aisle? So says the Braisa, because I would only exclude these Psula Mekdashin from the laws of the firstborn. But I would not exclude it from the obligation of when you slaughter to give those Kahana gifts of the Zerayim, the Lachayim, the Keba to the Kain, which Gemara is going to shortly ask and say, why? What would be better Matanis than Bechayra to be obligated Matanis and be exempted from Bechayra? But that's what says the Braisa. I would think, okay, we're only excluding it from Bechayra, not from the gifts to give to the Kain. Tamalayma aisle. That's what compares it not only to the deer, which is already comparing it to one type of chaya, but also to the hart, to another type of an animal, wild animal, which teaches us ma'ail patam and the bechayim and the matanis. Just like the hart, it's excluded from the firstborn and from the kahana gifts, because by the matanis kahuna of giving the stomach and the foreleg and the jaw to the kain, it says imshar imseh, the ox or a sheep, which are behemoths, in contrast to an aisle. Absolutely, Mekdashim, Beturim, and the Bechayim, and the Matanis, so too the Karbanis that became invalidated are also exempt from the laws of Bechayim and the Matanis, as we said in the Mishnah. Well, on that limud, the question then is, well, Imat Svi Va'ayil Chel Ben Mutter, so if you're comparing it to the deer and to the hart, which again, ayil here doesn't mean ram, as sometimes it's translated, but a certain type of a wild animal, that their fats are permitted, because the Isur Chelav of certain fats are only by behemoths, by domesticated animals, not by chayas. So absolutely Mekdashin, Chel Ben Mutter, so maybe therefore by these karbanis that became invalidated, you're comparing it to Tzvi and Ayil, maybe their chaylev should be permitted. Tamalim ha'ach, that's what the Pasuk says, however, which is an exclusionary terminology, which is chalak, that it's dividing and saying, no, we're not comparing it for everything. Oh, if it's like a regular behemoth, it's going to have the Isur Chelav. However, regarding other things, that we're comparing it to the wild animals to say that it's not going to have the obligations of Bechayra Matanas. Now, the Gemara explains the Braisa, Amamar. The time the Braisa said, Oitzias Bechor v'lo Oitzias Matanis. From comparing it to Tzvi, I would have said, okay, it's like a deer in the sense that it's not going to have the din of Bechor. But I would not have excluded from the gifts of giving to the kain when you slaughter it. Therefore, you have to compare it to Ayil too. And that says the Gemara, Maishno. What's the difference regarding the Matnas Kahuna that we would not have learned it out from the first Pasuk from comparing it to Tzvi? Says the Gemara, because Eitzias HaBachar, I would have excluded the Pesulim Mekdashim from the laws of the firstborn, She'ain Shav HaBakal, because that's not such a strong halacha anyway, because it doesn't apply to all types of animals, because the firstborn doesn't apply when the firstborn's a female. It's only when it's a male. And therefore, okay, that's not such a strong halacha. I would have excluded that. But v'loyotis matanah shashavas b'kol, I would have not excluded the psulim makdashim from the halacha giving the matanah kuna when you slaughtered to the kohen, which that's by all types of animals that you're slaughtering. That's where I have to say the other comparison to the heart, to say that even that halacha we're excluding the psulim makdashim from. However, on this limit of the braisa, amalir of Papa Labaya. Papa asked to the Abayit, so wait, if we're going to learn out Psalm Mekdashin from Tzvi and Ayil, so then continue the comparisons and say Ma Tzvi v'Ayil, just like the deer in the heart, ain't oisiv es b'noi noig behen, there's no prohibition of slaughtering the parent and the child on the same day because the pasuk by oisiv es b'noi says shor oiseh, which are domesticated animals, so Psalm Mekdashin, then say the same thing regarding these invalidated karbanas, then ain't oisiv es b'noi noig behen, maybe you shouldn't have the prohibition of slaughtering the parent and the child the same day. So that Amalei Abaya said to him, no. Lamai medamas lahu. What are you comparing these psulim mekdashim to? Because on some level, that's where we the halachas become applicable over here regarding, let's say, what we spoke about before, b'chorei matanas. So he said, oh, we're comparing to Tzvi and Ayil to say that, okay, it's going to be exempt from b'chorei matanas. Why? Because it's still considered like hektish on something, which hektish is exempt from b'chorei matanas. But it's still somewhere like Pechulin where we see you could use it for your own personal things. So it's somewhere in the middle. So Tzvi v'Ayil helps clarify, we're not going to consider it like Pechulin for this. We'll consider it as Hekdash. But that's what Abai is telling him. So what do you want to compare Pechulin Mekdashin to that you want to exempt it from the prohibition of Oseb Es B'nai? And that is either one, it's the only thing that Tzvi v'Ayil is telling us is regarding one of two categories. And that is, regarding Oisav Es B'nai, Ila Chulin, if you're going to consider Psul Mekdashin like unconsecrated animal, Oisav Es B'nai Negbe, there's a prohibition by Chulin animals. Vila Kachim, and even if you're going to compare it to Kachim, Oisav Es B'nai Negbe, there is also. The Oisav Es B'nai is by Chulin and Mekdashin, as the Gemara says, M'sach Zechun, Davayin Chesem and Aleph. So what exactly is it that you want to gain by learning it from Tzvi v'Ayil? Tzvi v'Ayil is not taking it out from the category of being a behemoth. When you're comparing it to a Chaya, okay, then you'll say that, okay, for that halacha we'll consider like hektish. But Oseb Es B'nai is anyways asr by chulin or hektish, and therefore, of course, it's going to be asr. Well, and that Amalei said to him, wait a second. See, if that's the case, so then regarding the forbidden fats of the Psul Mekdashin, you should also say the same thing. And therefore, the question is going to be, then why did the Braisa need to say that, oh, you know how you know it's going to be asr, the chel of the Psul Mekdashin? From the word ach. That has to get more. Why? It should be prohibited because l'may medamis lahu. What's the difference? Anyway, what are you comparing it to? Since you said that even though the pasuk equates psul mekdashin v'tzvi v'ayil, you said, but okay, it's not better than a behemoth. It just, the most it could be is kachim, but it's either kachim or chulin. So then the question on the braisa is, well then, based on your logic, ila chulin, if you're comparing it to chulin, well, chel benasser, the chelav of a chulin animal is forbidden. Vila kachim, and even if you're going to compare it to a kachim, chel benasser, their fats are also forbidden. So why did the braisa need ach to exclude, to say that no, its chelav is going to be forbidden, and don't compare it to tzvi v'ayil? It doesn't make a difference, you're saying. Whatever behemoth it is, chulin mekdashin, it's aser, like oisav es b'nai, so then say there's something for chelav. Why do you need ach to say that no, it's going to be aser, you don't need ach? So Ella rather says, Rav Papa, lav mi amrit ach v'lechelbon. So he's answering his question by saying a different approach. He says, no, didn't the Braisa say, how do you know that the chelav is aser? From the word ach, which is excluding, say, no, not for everything we're comparing it to Tzvi v'Ayil. And therefore, ach is telling us that its fats are going to be aser. So says Rav Papa, so then amen nami, then you could also say and extend it a step further that actually ach v'loy oisav es b'noi. Actually, it's from ach that you also learn out that we're not going to compare it to tzvi v'ayil for oisav es b'noi, and it's going to be aser because of the pasuk ach, just like we're saying in the braisa from the regarding the halachas of its chelav. And as Rashi points out, so wait, on one level we're comparing psul mekdashin to tzvi v'ayil. On some level we're not from the word ach. So it's logical to say as we're coming out that we're comparing Psulim Mekdashim to Tzvi V'Ayil regarding exempting it, as the Braisa says, exempting it from the laws of the firstborn, which was explained the halacha of our Mishnah, and from the Matnas Kuhuna when you slaughter it. Now, whereas Ach is saying, but however, its fats and Oisav Es B'nai will be Aser, not like Tzvi V'Ayil. Why is that? How do we know to say that is comparing to that and that to that? Because now it's exactly coming out like these Psulim Mekdashim is going to be like regular Kachim, which have those same halachas, exempt from Bukhari Matanas, but us are by Chayla Benayis Aves Benayi. Because if you would say the exact opposite, then you wouldn't be comparing these Pesul Mekdashim not to Kachim, not to Chulin, and if it's logical, the way we're coming out, to separate these halachas, what we're saying is like Tzvival and whatnot. That's one approach. Rava, he gives a different approach. He says, no, actually, Ach, regarding this exclusionary terminology in Pesul Mekdashim, what not to compare it to Tzvival, that's La'is Aves Benayi Huda Asa. Yeah, that's how you know that it's going to be Usr to answer his question of Oisav Es Benay. Because we're not comparing to Tzivayel for that. But V'chel Bay Midamin Afka. And actually, because Ach is only teaching us one thing. But its fats, you actually know from the prohibition when it talks about its blood. Because the Chassid, the Pasuk says, Rak is Dami Loi Teichel. Which this Pasuk is by the firstborn animal, which is blemished. Which it says, however, its blood you shouldn't consume. Now, my dhamma, what's it, and which is a psulim mekdashim type of a case of bukhari das abamum, which the halacha we're discussing. Now, my dhamma, what is it saying that's prohibited to consume its blood? Elim dhamma mamash, if you think to read it literally, it's so much prohibition to consume its blood, why do you need a pasik by psulim mekdashim? Lo yehei ela dhamma de tzviva ayil, let it be even like the blood of which is the most lenient interpretation of psulim mekdashim, like a deer and a hart. Atu dam de tzviva al mishar, you think the blood of a wild animal is permitted? Their blood is also forbidden. Why do you need a special pasuk to say the blood of psul mekdashim is forbidden? Ella rather says, Rava dama, you know what it means when it says its blood? It's actually referring to chelba, it's referring to its fats. And that's the source that you know that fats are forbidden. And the Ach could teach us that that's the prohibition of Eisav Es Benayi by psul mekdashim, you don't compare it to tzviva nail. Now that the question is, but the malicht rechmana chalbay. So why is the pasuk saying don't consume its blood? But blood doesn't mean blood; it means its fats. Say it straight out. Say you're not allowed to have the fats of the psulim mekdashim. Says Rava, ikaz rechmana chaylev. Had the Torah written explicitly the fats, well then havamina, I would have thought to say as follows. I would have said that on the one hand ahani hakesha. No, that maybe we are still going to have the hekesh, the comparison of psulim mekdashim to tzvi and ayil, and vahani krah. But then there's also going to help be an element of the pasuk, had it said, eschel boi loy toichel, that, okay, then you're not allowed to eat the fats, but I would have said that they're both true, as the Gemara explains. What do I mean? Ahane Akesha, we would have said that in this halacha of chelev, we would still make the comparison to tziva ayil, which that would tell us, lemu'uti mikaris, to say that it's just excluding it, that you're not going to have a punishment of karis, and that actually would be pretty logical, because the chikas of karis, because when does it say the punishment of karis, of dying at a young age, if one consumes the forbidden chelev, a oichel chelev behema, it's when someone eats an animal that's fit to be a carbon, which this is not a psulim mekdashim, that's who dichsev, that's what's written. Shnemar, like the pasuk says, ki kol oichel chelev min behema. If someone eats the forbidden fats of an animal, says the pasuk in Biyikra, the pasuk continues, which ashe yakriv mimenu ish la'Hashem, that will be brought as a carbon to Hashem, of a nechrasa nefesh achas mimel, the one who violates that's going to get cars. So it's said in the context of regarding a behema that's ruled a carbon. And here it's a psulim mekdashim, not really to be a carbon. So it makes sense to compare it to tzviva ayil and say, you're not going to get karis if you go ahead and eat this chelev. Now, vahani krah, but the pasuk will also help, had it said explicitly that you're not allowed to eat the chelev of the psulim mekdashim, let make him a lebalav ba'amu. We'd say, okay, that's telling us that you just get a negative prohibition that's not totally permitted. Lahachi afker echman of lashon dami says, Rabbi, that's why we said the isser of its fats, not by saying the word fats, but rather using the words its blood. Why? To tell you, madami bakaris, just like consuming its blood is a punishment of karis, afchel bakaris, also its fats is bakaris. So we wanted to say the fats, because that's what it's actually talking about. And because the Ach is actually teaching you oisav es benay. Chelev is from this halacha of damai. So why don't you just say straight out chelev? Because then if you would have said chelev is forbidden, you would have thought, okay, it's only forbidden as a loisa say. But you are still comparing it to tziva ayil to say it's not going to get karis. That's why I said damai, to say no, you're not comparing it at all. It's going to be totally forbidden, even with a punishment of karis, as a regular classic chelev. Now, this interpretation of Rava, the Gemara asks, wait. But Vatanda, the Tanda Brice that we quoted before, as we started off and explained the halacha of our Mishnah, Ach v'lei chelbe kamer. The Tanda Brice explicitly says, where do you know that chelev is not, of psul mekdashim, not compared to tzviva ayil, but rather it is going to be forbidden, unlike wild animals like a deer? You know it from Ach. So how could Rava come along and say, no. Ach is coming to exclude Eisav Es Benayi, which was answering a Papa's question. That's how you know it's prohibited. It's prohibition by this psul mekdashim, unlike the wild animals. And on chelev, oh, you know from somewhere else. But the Tana Braisa, and Amor cannot disagree with the Tana, says it's from Ach. Says, this is what the Tana was saying. Ilulei nemer damai. Had we not had the other pasuk that says it's blood, which we said really means it's fats, then I would have said, oh, ach v'lechel, but I would have known it from the word ach, which is excluding from how much you learn from tzvi v'nail, which would have said, but no, not regarding its fats. Its fats is forbidden. But ach shav shenem adamai, these the words that the Bryce is not saying, but that's what Rav is explaining. But now that it says it's blood, oh, so therefore then the word ach is la'isavis, but nahu da'as is coming to teach us regarding the prohibition of slaughtering the parent and the child on the same day. And therefore, when the time of the Bryce says tamalema ach, that ach is chalak, What he meant to say was that even had we not had a pasuk, I could have learned it from here. But you're right, now that we have a different pasuk, actually Ach is not teaching that. Rather, Ach is teaching, according to Rabbah, Lo'isay Be'ez Benoy. The time of the Mishnah went further regarding this category of when Kodim Hekdeshon Lamuman, when it was first sanctified unblemished, and only later did it develop a blemish. Another halacha is, Ve'einun Yoytzen L'chulun, and that is when you redeem it, it doesn't go out totally to be like Chulun. It's, as we said before, there's still some sanctity on this animal, because it had a kedusha saguf, that you're not allowed to work it, you're not allowed to share its wool, and some other halachas. So the Gemara, where do we know these halachas regarding the psulei mukdashim? That it still is limited permissibility, still has the prohibition of hekdesh attached to it. The Tanna, because learned in the Braisa, the pasuk says, rak b'chol avas navshach, however, whatever your desire is, so tizbach, you could slaughter, which this pasuk in the Devarim Yud Beis is explained to be Toma by the Psulei Mekdashin, by this case that we're discussing, that it was a carbon that became invalidated after it was redeemed. So you could do what your heart's desire is, you go ahead and slaughter it, but that tells us, B'loi Giza, you're allowed to slaughter the animal, but you not shear the wool. And when it says you could slaughter Basar, it's meat, but that tells us, B'loi Chalav, you can't have its milk. And when it says V'chalti, you could eat it, which says you could eat it, V'loi L'Klavecha, but not for your dog. Mekan, actually, from his, where we learn, you can't redeem a carbon, let's say if it's dead, to feed it to the dogs, because it's only the permissibility of some like dashna is only for, like the pasuk of v'chalta, that you'll eat, but not the eating of your dogs. And therefore, that's where we learn these halachas, that it doesn't go out totally chulam. Now, as a ketintim at Beis, Igadam, those say a slightly different interpretation, which has a nafkimina. They learn, when it says tizbach v'chalta, that you could slaughter and eat it, you don't learn it as each word as a separate miut, but rather it's a concept that it's saying. Ein l'cho behen heter achilo, el m'shazvich ve'elech. So it's tizbach v'yachalto. When could you eat it is when it's slaughtered, meaning the only time you have permissibility of consuming parts of this animal is only from the moment when it's slaughtered and onward. And so, according to this opinion, the way you exclude shearing and the milk is because that's when the animal's still alive. That's when you shear the wool, and that's when you drink its milk. Then you don't have permissibility because it's not yet slaughtered. So that's how they know to exclude the halacha of a mishnah of shearing and the milk. But, however, regarding the fact that it used the terminology of basar, that's not saying, oh, basar b'lei chalav, because they know you can't have chalav because it's when it's still alive. Basar is just because that's the normative way you're explaining what are you eating? Eating the meat, but it's not lidrasha. And moreover, they're not expounding the word v'chalta, that you will eat, as if it's an extra word, which that first interpretation said is excluding to feed it to the dogs, because they're saying, no, the word v'chalta is a qualifying by tizbach, to say you could only eat it once it's slaughtered. And therefore, according to this interpretation, they hold that you could redeem kachim to feed it to the dogs, because they're not having vachalta as saying you in contrast to your dogs. It's vachalta just being qualified by tizbach, and therefore you don't have in them a miud of being redeeming kachim to feed it to the dogs. Now the Gemara continues to explain the halacha of a mishnah that said regarding this category that we're discussing, that vladan v'chalavan aser, the children and the milk is prohibited, even after this carbon that got blemished and then is redeemed, even after its redemption, the children are forbidden and the milk that comes out of the animal is forbidden. Like we said, the chalav is forbidden, as we taught before. You're allowed to eat the meat, but you can't use it for its milk. Now, so ask the Gemara regarding the first case, hechi dami, what's the case of the children that we're saying is forbidden? If you think it's talking about that the children of this animal that was redeemed are always forbidden, even if the animal that was redeemed became impregnated and gave birth after it was redeemed, but then the question is, why would the children be forbidden? But Vlad Svi V'ayel Ninu, it's like a child of a deer or a hart, because we said Psul Mekdashna compared to the Tzvi and the Ayel, and the children of wild animals like a deer are permitted. Why would it be forbidden? Ella rather explains the Gemara, di aber lefnei pidyanin. What children are we talking about that are forbidden even after it's redeemed? It's talking about that it became impregnated before it was redeemed. So it did have a sanctity. And then it gave birth after it was redeemed. That's why it's going to be Aser. Now, however, the truth is, but it doesn't really have any real sanctity, neither to be sacrificed, and neither even to have monetary sanctity, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain. So what do you do with these children that were impregnated before it's redeemed, but gave birth after it's redeemed? But first, the Gemara makes the following inference. Now, halafnei pidyonin, but if let's say these children were born even before the psulim mikdashin were redeemed, so it sounds like they're mikdash namekachi. It wouldn't just be aser, it would actually be even sanctified, because it was born when the mother was still unredeemed, when it was still in a sanctified state. And that is the Gemara, Manan Amila, where do we know this from, that if it was born before it was even redeemed, then it's even going to be sanctified, these children? Says the Gemara, the Tanya Bonik was learned in the Braisa. The Braisa quotes a pasuk by Karban Shlomim in Vayikra Gimel, where it says that if Zachar, if it's going to be a male, or im Nekeva, if it's going to be a female, that's Tamim, that's unblemished, so then you could go ahead and bring this Karban as a Shlomim. Now the thing is the Braisa is expounding that these words are superfluous. It's a Kra Yaseira. Because why did the pasuk have to mention this? If you wouldn't have stated that it has to be a male, and which is not, the Shlomim doesn't have to be, it can be male or female, in contrast to by an Oila, where you said specifically it has to be a male, so you would know that, okay, so it could be a female. So why does it specify male or female? Obviously, just don't say any gender, you would know that it could be both. Oh, so therefore it says the Braisa that these words are being used to expound. When it says male is l'rabbis as havlad, is to include the vlad, the child of a carbon shlamim, that's also brought as a carbon. Now, if one's going to ask, we had in the previous daf that we said that how do we know that the vlad of a carbon is sanctified from the pasuk asher yiloch? So actually it says Rashi, it's a machlekes tanoim, where some tanoim learn that from that pasuk, some learn it from the pasuk we bring here in this braisa, as Gemara explains as a masechtas tmur daf yedzayinim abeis. But that's what this tan is learning from the word zachar, which is extra, to include the child of the carbon shlam. And when it says v'nekeva, when it mentions the female, is l'rabba says that tamura is including also the carbon that you try swapping, that the tamura of the shlam is also going to have the sanctity to be sacrificed as a carbon shlam on the mizbeach. Now, it continues the braisa, v'ainli elav v'lad tamimin, and this is where it gets up to the point we want to bring a proof to. I would only know from this pasuk, okay, the child of an unblemished carbon shlamim, that child is going to be brought as a carbon, or v'tamura's tamimim, or the swapping of an unblemished carbon. But vlade bali mumin, but the child of a blemished carbon, meaning like the case that we're discussing in Psul Mekdashin, where it was first sanctified before it developed a blemish, which this is the halacha we want to bring a proof to. Or the tamura is bali mumin, or the tamura of a blemished carbon, that then you're going to sacrifice that tamura and that vlad minayin. How do we know that? Kishoim, when the pasuk says, not just zachar in the cave, it says im zachar, the word im is extra too, if a male, that's l'rabbis vlad bali mumin. That's including the child of a blemished carbon. And when it says im nekeva, if a female is l'rabbis tamura is bali mumin, to include even the tamura of a bal mum, to say that they're all brought as karbanos, and therefore that's the source for the inference of the halacha of our Mishnah, that if it's born before it's redeemed from a psula mikdashin, that it's even going to be sacrificed as it's going to have that kedusha. Now, the Gemara wonders, eisen vladis. So going back to the case of our Mishnah, those children, shalach ha-pidyanan, that were born after it was redeemed, but again were impregnated before the mother was redeemed, samata he'alan. What's the status regarding them? Because like we're explaining, they're not really fit, not for themselves to have kedusha as a goof, and not for their monies, as Rav Huna is going to shortly explain. So what do you do with them? Now, first the Gemara qualifies and explains that that regarding those that are born lefnei pidyonin, which we had just mentioned before, that those that are born even before the mother's redeemed, so actually miflik pligibu, there is a dispute regarding this that we mentioned, the braisa that says im zachar, the word im comes to include even the child of a blemished carbon, although we said that they're not just going to be us, there's even going to be sanctity, this is actually machloikas. Ikle mandama, those that say, as it's brought in Sechtes Tmur over there in Perkei Lukachim, that Kachili Karv, as we mentioned before, that they hold, it's sanctified even to be brought as a carbon. Now, but the Ikle mandama, there are those that say, no, Kachili Re'iyah. Yeah, the child, because it was born before the mother was even redeemed, is sanctified, but it's sanctified to go out to graze until it develops a blemish, and then it's sold, and then with its monies, you bring a carbon to Dav. So that's an understanding, it's a machlekes, it's sanctified. The question is, for Kedushas Aguf, Kedushas Damim. But the question is going back to the case, however, of our Mishnah, that's if it's born before it's redeemed. But the La'acha Pidyonim, but those that are born after it's redeemed, Matelen, what's going to be with them? Where that we said is they don't become sanctified and they're forbidden, so what do you do with it? So Amar Rav Hunah says, yeah, Kainsin Lakib, what you do with these children is you put them into a room, Vehe Mason, and they die from starvation. Because says Rav Hunah, Dehech Levin, you're right, what are you supposed to do with this child? If you're going to say, Likravinu, bring it as a carbon, you can't. It's getting its sanctity from a rejected sanctity because there's two flaws in this child. First of all, the mother that it's coming from was blemished and a rejected blemish because it was viable at one point. It was a regular carbon, it was tamim, and then it developed a blemish. So that's nirvanitcha that gets rejected. And this child's coming from that sanctity. Moreover, it's even born after the mother was already redeemed. So it's not like it still has the sanctity. It was born into a post-redeemed state, so it doesn't even have sanctity. Moreover, you can't say, okay, so be matvitz kedusha, go ahead and create a separate sanctity on this child to bring it as a carbon. You can't. Because since, like we just explained, they're rejected because they're coming from rejected sanctity of the mother, so then they're not viable anymore to go ahead and make them into their own carbon. And if you're going to say, okay, so you can't bring it as a carbon, but lifrikinu, okay, so they have somewhat of a prohibited sanctified status, so then redeem it. Loyalimi limitves pedyanit. They don't have enough sanctity so that you could go ahead and do a redemption to then bring them out into chulin to be unsanctified, because really, they really left their sanctity through the dint of their mother's redemption. Because actually, the halacha of our Mishnah that says that they're forbidden, as the Gemara is going to shortly explain, is only a gzeir ba'am. It's just a rabbinic concern. Because biblically, with the halacha is always ubayerachimahu. The fetus is considered like a part of the mother. And yet, when you remove the sanctity of the mother by redeeming it, you're also removing the sanctity of the child, like we said in the previous of the reisha of our Mishnah, regarding those that had the blemish before it was sanctified, that it has a monetary sanctity. Like we said, that the children are permitted after you redeem the mother. So, and the truth is, regarding the seifa of when there's kedushas aguf, there's also no difference. The only difference between kedushas aguf and kedushas damim is regarding the redemption, where one needs a blemish and one doesn't. But regarding the halacha of the mother's redemption, really that passes down to the child. So the child doesn't have any sanctity really to go ahead and do redemption, and therefore it's stuck in this somewhat twilight zone, and therefore it's actually going to be aser. Now, however, ami b'marav mishmed Reb Chanina, but in the West they said name Reb Chanina that no, there is an option. Samach lepidyainen, near the time that you're going to go ahead and redeem this animal that's impregnated with this child, matfisan l'shem oisa zebach. You go ahead and you grab a hold, you go ahead and you create a sanctity on the fetus, saying, I want this fetus to be for the designation of that carbon that its mother was initially designated for. Now, the mother can't be part of the carbon because it's a blemished animal, so you have to redeem it. But the problem is, once you redeem it, the child, we said, is just at a loss. So right before you redeem them, you go ahead and you say, oh, I want this fetus to have this sanctity of this carbon. So the Gemara wonders, samach lepidyonin, near the time that you're redeeming them? What do you mean redeeming them? Redeeming the fetus? Lememer de b'nei pediyaninu? Are you telling me that the fetus is something that could be redeemed? As if, like you could say, a terminology of redemption before you're even being matvis. You're saying, right before you're going to be paid to them, give them a sanctity. But you just said they don't have any strength of kedusha in them. El Emer rather says the Gemara, no, what he was saying was, is samach lepidyon iman. Right before you're going to redeem the mother, matfisin l'shem oisa zevach, then go ahead and grab a hold of the child and say, I want to designate this child to have the sanctity, which it has some relationship of its mother. So right now, you're creating its own separate sanctity because you're considering it significant right before. And therefore, what we're gaining by this is that it's not going to lose its sanctity, which we said it happens when the mother's redeemed, because you're saying, no, I want it to have the sanctity. So it's not really being part of the mother's redemption. So it holds on to that sanctity, and therefore then you wait until it develops a blemish, and then you could go ahead and redeem it, because it's still held on to the sanctity. It's not part of the mother's redemption. Now, that the Gemara asks, time am I? There's three interpretations in Rashi, we'll say in them in their order. So the first interpretation is asking a question on Rav Hunah. So why did Rav Hunah say that mumas? And he says, no, you got to put it into the room and wait till it dies. Why didn't he say like Rav Chanina? That is a way of a takana, there's a way of a rectifying it, like he said. Go ahead and be matvizet right before redemption, and then the child will be okay, that you can redeem it. So Amr Blavi says, no. If you're going to do like Reb Chanina and say that there's a rectification for the child that's born from the Psula Mekdashin, Gizeira, there's a rabbinic decree, Shemiyigdal Mehen Adarm Adarm, that you might go ahead and make flocks and flocks from Psula Mekdashin, from Karbonis that develop the blemish. Because when an animal that's a carbon is going to develop a blemish, so they're not going to redeem it. Because they're going to wait till the children are born. And then they're going to come to eat it without redeeming it, which is prohibited. But when we're saying this rabbinic the iser, that we're saying that, well, the children are going to be forbidden, like Rav Huna said, you just got to lock up in the room and die, so then people are going to quickly go ahead and redeem the mother right when it develops a blemish, because they're not going to want to hold on to it, because there's no utility in the children anyway. That's one interpretation. Another interpretation, actually, the Gemara's question was not only on Rav Huna, but also on Rav Chanina. Whether you hold that they have to go and die, or whether you say that you could be matfisit and therefore hold on to its sanctity to redeem it, the question of the Gemara was, when this is my time, why did the Rabbanan make such a big deal? Why didn't they just let it retain its prohibition? And that the Gemara's question was, because no, then you might come to make flocks and flocks. What you're going to do is that those children are going to have children and then children and then children, and that's going to create a takala, because now you have all these prohibited animals just lying around. But after the fact that you redeem it, so then we're not concerned if they're going to have children, because like we said, the children of Psula Mekdashin, once they're redeemed, have the halacha like a tzviva ayil, and that's permitted, just like wild animals. The third interpretation, which Rashi says the primary interpretation from his Meir, from his teacher, is that the Gemara's question of a time am I is not going back on the previous Gemara's discussion. It's going back on the halacha of our Mishnah. Why did the Mishnah say that even after the mother's redeemed, that from this case of when Kodim Hekdesh Lamuman, if this child was impregnated before it got redeemed and born afterwards, then that child is going to be Aser? Why? Why is the child Aser? But its Kedusha is removed with the redemption of the mother, just like we said regarding the ratio of the Mishnah as Kedusha's Damim, as we pointed out that idea just before, that the children are permitted after the mother is redeemed. So Ubi Yerchim, I wanted to say the same thing for these children too, that even when there's Kedusha's a good, but okay, you redeem it, so the redemption works on the child too. It should be permitted just like the mother. Why are we saying it's prohibited? That's what the Gemara's answer is. It's a Gezerah. Shem Yigdal Adam Adam, that you might make from these Psula Mekdashin flocks, which is, what you're going to do is that you're going to redeem the flocks for the purposes of these children that are born after it's redeemed. So you'll redeem it, you'll wait then till it gives birth. And then, however, but since you're waiting for it to give birth, then, if you would say it's permitted, then you might in the interim, if you're not slaughtering the animal yet, to shear the mother and to work with it. And therefore, we said that no, they're going to be usher anyway. Okay, so then go ahead and slaughter it, because that's the only thing you could use, right? Psula Mekdashin. Now, however, in regards to the Reisha of the Mishnah, when it was Kadem Mumen Lekdashin, so why don't we make the same Gezerah over there, where it's seemingly according to this interpretation, it should have the same application, is because those cases are actually what's called Milsa L'Shchich. It's not common, which, and we don't make Gezerahs on the Rabbanon by things that are uncommon, because the Gemara Tumur Davav Mabez actually says that someone goes ahead and makes a Baal Mum in his Matvis L'Mezbech. He says, I want this to be Hekdesh, to be a carbon, which is the case of the Reisha, when it was called the Mumen Lekdashin. A person violates five negative prohibitions, and it's not common for a Jew to do that, and therefore we didn't make that Gezerah. Moreover, in regards to the case of the Seifa, when the Hekdesh was before the blemish, we said, however, but if it was impregnated and was born after it's redeemed, so why don't we make the Gezerah there too? You'll hold on to the animal till it becomes pregnant and gives birth, where there you're saying it's mutter, so why don't we make Gezerah over there to think that maybe people are going to hold on to it and they might come to then do work with the mother? No, because since we said that the ones that was impregnated before it was redeemed, they're going to be usher, so a person's not going to come to hold on such a long time and wait till it becomes impregnated and give birth. If it's already pregnant, the people might delay. For those cases, we said we're concerned that they might hold on to it too long, and therefore we said that anyways, those children can be usher. But again, really, it's a gezerah d'rabbanan. Now the Gemara says, "Bayimenei Ravinim Rav Sheshes." Ravinim Rav Sheshes asked regarding the previous Gemara's discussion, that of the resolution of Rav Chanina, the option that he says, okay, that the child won't be usher. So he says, so Maush Matfisan, what's halacha to grab a hold to those children that are in utero of these Psula Mekdashin? L'chol Zevach Shirtza, can you also then go ahead, like Rav Chanina said, and designate it to be sanctified before you redeem the mother? Could you make it for any carbon that you want to? So the mother is one type of a carbon, and you wanted to retain the fetus, the sanctity, so that you could redeem it. Could you make it into some type of other carbon? So Amalei Matfisin. So that Rav Shishi said to him, no, you can't. It has to be, like Rav Chanina had said, for the same sanctity of the carbon that the mother itself is. So the Rebbe asked Maitam, what's the reason? So Amalei said to him, because Gama Bisharecha, Bisharecha, Mebachar, we're learning Xer Shav from the word Bisharecha, from the laws of Bachar. By the firstborn, it says if there's going to be a blemish. So it says Bisharecha Techlena, then you could eat it in your cities, the blemished Bachar, as it says in Dvarim Tezvav. And by Psul Mikdashin, it also says Ashenasin L'chabachal Sharecha, that you could eat in all your towns, again, because it's already was Dvav blemish and you redeemed it. But both of them say the word Bisharecha, and Ma Bachar, just like the firstborn, Ein Matpisin L'chal Zevach Shehir, so you can't make it into whatever carbon you want to. So like the pasuk says, Ach Bachar, however, the firstborn, Ashi Yavukar, that will be the first one, Lashem, Bebehem, Bebegamer, for Hashem, as an animal, the pasuk says, etc., Lo Yakdish Ish Eisei, a person cannot sanctify it. So we see that no other sanctity of carbon could take effect on the Bachar. It's a Bachar, it will be a Bachar. Safhani, also over here by the Psul Mikdashin, E Matfis Nachal Zebach Shir. So you can't go ahead and grab a hold of it for whatever carbon you want to. If you're going to do this, Avshar B'chanina, it's got to be the sanctity that its mother carbon had, and then again you redeem the mother, and then it holds on to its sanctity, and then you go ahead and redeem it. Says the Gemara. Tanikav Asid Rav Sheshas. We have a Brisa that says like Rav Sheshas, like what he just had answered. The Brisa says as follows. Similar like the halachas of a Mishnah, differentiating between kadam mumun lekdeshin or kadam hekdeshin lemumun. Says the Brisa, kachim shekadam mum kavu lekdeshin veniftu. Halacha of our Mishnah. If there had a permanent blemish before it was sanctified and then this animal was redeemed. So as we said in the Mishnah, chayovim bebacharei b'matanis, so this is considered like, it never had kedushas haguf, so it's like a chul, an animal which will be obligated in its firstborn animal to give to the kohen, to the matnas kuna when you slaughter it. Now, bein lefnei pidyon bein la'acha pidyon, whether before you redeem it or after you redeem it, ha'gezes va'eved behen enesavikas arbam, someone shears the wool or works with this animal, doesn't get the 40 lashes. So although actually these animals are forbidden to shear the wool before it's redeemed, but one's not going to get lashes because the pasuk of Leisagas that prohibits shearing the wool goes on bona fide kachim. And that's not the case over here because they don't really have kedushas aguf, it's just kedushas dam. However, it's still going to be prohibited like anyone that has benefit from hektish. It's no worse than kachim by the kabbayas that you're not have benefit. So you're not allowed to shear the wool or work with it, but one's not going to get lashes. And so to bein lefnei pidyon bein la'acha pidyon in enes in tamura, whether before it's redeemed or after it's redeemed, there's no halacha of tamura, which if you say I want to swap the sanctity to another carbon, to another animal, that animal will not become kaddish with that sanctity, because as we taught in the previous daf, it says toiv bara, which we said was unnecessary. Toiv says has to be toiv meikari, has to be at least in the beginning it was unblemished, even though now it's blemished, the law of Bukhari will apply, but here it was never unblemished, it was already blemished before it was even sanctified, so the laws of tamura will not apply. And v'lefnei pidyon moilim behem. Now, however, but before they're redeemed, then there is the halacha of me'ila, of misappropriation, because ultimately he's benefiting from hektish, he's not redeemed yet, and there is not any less than kachet bedek abayis, which anything from hektish, if one benefits, one commits me'ila, has to bring a carbon, and the other obligations. Now, ula'acha pidyonin, after it's redeemed, however, ein moilim behem, then there is no me'ila, it's already redeemed. And uvladesein chayil, then their children are regular unconsecrated, and that's even, as we said in the halacha of Mishnah, even if they were impregnated before they redeemed, but they gave birth after they redeemed, so then the child is considered regular chayil. And v'niftin tamim, if however they became impregnated and gave birth before they redeemed, so then the child is sanctified to some level as a monetary sanctity, it needs to be redeemed, but it can be redeemed even in a unblemished state, like we said, because that doesn't have the physical sanctity which requires a mum first. And umatfisin l'chalzevach shayirtza, and this child, you could go ahead, that has this sanctity, you could go ahead and create the sanctity for whatever carbon you want to use it for. Because klol shel davar, like we said here, since this is coming from an animal that was kadam mumun lekdeshin, sarein kechun l'chal davarim, they're like unconsecrated purposes for all halachas. And ein locha behem el mitzvah il bovad. The only thing that it has is the mitzvah of evaluating it regarding its monetary value. But like we said, that these animals and their children don't have a physical sanctity, just as a monetary sanctity. Aval, however, like the seifa of our Mishnah, kadam hekdeshin is mumun. But if let's say its sanctity was before it's blemished, a mum over lehekdeshin, or even if it had a blemish, but it was only a passing blemish before it was sanctified, ula acha mekan noil mum kavu, and only subsequently did it develop a permanent blemish, and then the person redeems it, which is the classic Psulei Mikdashin, So there, as we mentioned, Aman Alf, Paturin Minna Matanis, it's going to be exempt from the laws of the firstborn Matanis, like we compare it to Tzviva Ayil. Now, Bein Lefnei Pidyonin, Bein La'acha Pidyonin, whether before it's redeemed or even after it's redeemed, HaGeizav O'Eva Ben Tzavik Esabam, if you shear the wool, you work with it, that's the halacha that we mentioned on Aman Alf also, that he's still going to get the 40 lashes, because the only thing that would permit Pesulim Mekdashin is to eat its meat, but not to share the wool, and not to use it for other things. And here, whether before it's redeemed or even after it's redeemed, it will have halacha of tamura, which the Gemara later on in the next daf is going to explain, that although there's a tamura after it's redeemed, but those tamura actually, they die. But before and after, there's going to be the halacha of tamura, because again, as the Bryce has explained, it has a physical sanctity, it's like a carbon, even after it's the blemish and after it's redeemed, so you could have the halacha of tamura. Now, lefnei pidyonin ma'ayilam behem, before it's redeemed, of course, is me'ila. Ula'acha pidyonin ein ma'ayilam behem. After it's redeemed, there's no halacha of me'ila, because like we said, after it's redeemed, the pasuk equates it to a tzvi na'al, to a wild, regular, unconsecrated wild animal, which doesn't have halacha of me'ila. But however, regarding shearing the wool, that's still going to be forbidden, like we said, because it says tizbach, you could slaughter, but v'legizi, you can't shear the wool. And v'lodesein kodesh, that if, let's say, even if the child's born after it's redeemed, but if, like we said before, that if it's impregnated before it's redeemed, then the child that's born will be sanctified. And ve'eniftin tamim, therefore, and it cannot be redeemed in an unblemished state. And this is the halacha that we're supporting for Rav Sheshes, ve'en matfisin l'chol zevach shiirtza. And you cannot grab a hold of it for whatever sanctity of any carbon that you want to, because like we said before, even Reb Chanina's option, the only thing you could be able to do is be matfis it for the carbon that its mother itself is. But you can't go ahead and be matfis whatever carbon you want to. That supports Reb Sheshes. And Kol Shadavah says the race of the rule of what we're saying for this category is, harein kehektish l'chol devreim. They really like hektish physical sanctity for all their halachic practical purposes. The only thing that Psul Mekdashin, that redeemed, that the only thing that it's not like Kadshim, is that there's a permissibility of eating it. You could eat it like a regular chulin animal, which is like the Pasuk says, we're comparing it to Tziva Al, that Tizbach V'Yachalta. But regarding all other halachas, it's still going to have the halach of Hektish, and therefore, like we said, these halachas, that it's going to have those stringencies. But again, one thing is that it supports the halach of Rav Sheshes, that he says, even Rav Chanina's option, to be matfis the child, is only Lo'isa Zevach, but not L'chol Zevach She'irtza.